And this morning I decided I'm going to wear my work boots. I did polish them. Do a little bit of polish on them. I cleaned them up. I'm like, yeah, they still look kind of rough. And the reason I wore my work boots is because I'm at work. This is my job. We are going to keep moving. Several weeks ago, I started a series that I called Face to Face. And it's actually dealing with the flesh, the natural man versus the spirit. And each segment is a little bit different than the last. Katie asked me last week, says, so what do you want to call this week's message? I said, well, I really don't know. And it just hit me. Don't be a moron. I said, if that don't get people's attention, what else is going to get it? So let's open your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you believe, first off, that God is? Well, if you don't, you need a new revelation. But he is also a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. That means you dig in hard. I love finding things. The more things, somebody says, well, I just can't find one. I can't find this. You just threw the gauntlet for me because I love digging in junk. I love looking for stuff that cannot be found. I just love doing that. I don't know why. You may see a barn full of junk and I see a barn full of treasure. That in there somewhere is a treasure. So much so that one time in a barn, I was looking at buying the property to try to flip it. And I was in this barn. I knew the owners. The father had died and the family found some things that they weren't aware of and were unable to keep it. So they had just let the company take over. And so I'm in the barn looking, and I'm looking around. And it's an old barn. It's got big old hand-hewn logs in it. And as I'm looking around, on a nail, something caught my eye. It was gold and round. It was the father's wedding band. When he had divorced, he drove a nail and put his wedding band in that barn and never told anybody where it was at. Now, I'm going to give it to his daughter. I just got to relocate it again myself. I think it's in my junk bin at my house. It got put there. But just like that, I found that, and it was a treasure. It's like, wow, this is going to mean something to her. Okay? She was close to her dad. Let me finish up. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. They had never seen rain like this. Up until then, the Bible says that amidst, we call them geysers, would shoot up from the earth and they'd just go and water the plants. They have to have water. But they had never seen this thing called rain. Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household by which he would condemn the world. Now you all may think, well, why would he do that? Jesus condemned the world just by coming. He said that. He said, they're condemned, they're judged because I came. And became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He'd never seen rain. To all of our knowledge, we don't know that Noah ever built a boat. And to say, well, they never had boats, they had no idea. How do you know that? How do you know that nobody had ever built a boat? You got all this water out there, you're on the coast. It's kind of in man's general nature to want to go see what's over there. What's over there? You know, a lot of people like to go on vacation and they like to go see what's over there. Well, when I'm on vacation, I just want to kind of That's not my goal, but if I'm out on a mission, I want to find out what's over there. What's in that cave? You don't always want to do that one. It can not be nice things in the caves. Enoch served God. He conversed with God to the point God showed him the mysteries of the universe. He showed him where he stored the snow, it says. Noah served God in righteousness during a time when it was extremely unpopular to do that. Where do you think we're at right now? You serve God? Okay, well, let me tell you, here's what the world wants to say. Let me tell you how you can serve your God. I don't think so, Jackwagon. You're not going to tell me how I serve my God. My God tells me how to serve him. Moses left the palace. Handled a situation in the flesh which led him to fleeing the country. Fled a family, or found a family. Learned of the God of his fathers only to come face to face with God in a burning bush. He was fleeing a possible death sentence. Elijah soaked an altar of wood, stone, and animal, believing God would consume it. And God did. Elisha went face to face with death and believed God had an army ready to protect him. And he did. David, no physical reason why he would win against Goliath. David was a boy. He didn't have the mass. I've looked back at pictures back when I was 16, 17. I was like, dude, you were just a little, you were just itty-bitty. Look how cute you were. And then I look at pictures after I got out of boot camp. It's like, my brother at that point, he was always challenging me. Now, he's 5 years younger than me, but he was always challenging me. Getting up in my face, he was growing, he was getting cocky, you know, how 12-year-olds start to get, 12, 13-year-olds, I can take on the world. And my dad always said, well, when you feel froggy, Kermit, jump. Anytime I jump, he cheated, so I had to learn how to cheat. But my little brother, he would always get up in my face, come on, who do you think you are? I came home from boot camp, I said, here, I want to show you something. Nope. He wouldn't come near. I just want to show you what I learned in hand-to-hand combat. Nope, not interested. And he never challenged me again until he learned. That's fair enough. Except again, he forgot something that all Marines know. You cheat to win. He grabbed me in blindside, wrapped me up, and he grew taller. He grabbed me from behind, wrapped me up in mom and dad's hallway. And he's trying to wrestle me to the ground. And well, the first thing, and at least I don't know about the Army and the other branches, but in hand-to-hand combat, if you're caught like that, you grab, twist, pull. You want to know what they grab? Everything that every man in this building will let go of you for. And I squeezed. And he's howling like a monkey back there. And we fell to the floor. He says, I quit. One, I had my pride. I had to hold on to it. You know, he was right out of boot camp. I'd been out of the Marine Corps for a couple of years. I wasn't what I used to be. I had to cheat. And I love my brother dearly. And he was able to have children, so. But there's no reason why David should win against Goliath. But yet he boasted to Goliath, I'm going to cut your head off and feed you to the birds. He had never fought a battle. I will say this is something about the house of David. It's a special, I don't remember what channel they're playing it on. What? It's on Prime, but you have to pay for another subscription. But anyhow, it's really, really cool on some of it. The rest of the story stuff, I don't really care for all the extra drama. There's enough drama in David's life without adding extra. But he had never killed anybody before. And he goes up and all he's got is a slingshot. Now, mind you, these guys, really good. I've seen people demonstrate the skill that they have. And man, when they whip that thing out of that slingshot and it goes out that crack, and they can go back there and they can hit a rock 50 yards away, or they can take that rock and hit a vase. And David goes running across this valley and lets that sucker go. Now, as a person who has been hit in the head a few times, if it's not obvious, I ate a baseball bat one time, right to the forehead. It did knock me out for a split second, but before I actually hit the ground, I came back too. I said, wow, I won't do that again. And I didn't. But I'm telling you, what happened was he knocked Goliath out. He took Goliath's sword, which is the ultimate insult to any combatant, to be killed with your own weapon. And I also believe that as God allowed that rock to find that one spot on his body that wasn't covered in armor, the one spot, nobody's going to shoot an arrow to try to hit you between the eyes. But David threw a rock that cracked him right there. He drops to his knees, eyeballs probably rolling back in his head. And by the time he hits the ground, David's over there and he's got that sword and he... We get a little over dramatic in our TV shows. And it's like, oh, got to get up there. Got to pose for the camera. First off, I got a feeling when David picked up that sword, it was an eye-opener to him. How many of you have seen those Viking swords? Some of them are about this long. It took guys with some big arms to wield them things, and it took both hands. Goliath's sword, they bragged about how big it was. And he was a massive man. And so David had to muster everything he had to wield that turkey back and go, just like he was chopping wood. And he took the enemy's head off. And that's what gave Israel the victory. Because at that point, the rest of the army that was cowering, hiding behind rocks, a little sheep herder comes up, kills a giant of a man, a champion, who all he's ever known is combat. They all found courage and they ran and they chased the rest of the armies. Gideon, in spite of what the man felt about himself, remember, Gideon is hiding. And the angel steps down and says, "Hail, mighty man of valor." Gideon pops his head up. Is there somebody else here? There's got to be somebody. He called him a mighty man of valor because that's what God saw him as. What do you think of you? Well, you know, this. No, you got to quit thinking garbage. I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm talking about finding who you are in God. That's what this is about. That's what being face to face with God is coming to understand who God thinks of you. God doesn't just look at you as a football coach and a teacher, a husband, a father, a grandfather. He sees something else. He sees more. He sees more than any of us could ever see. We're not defined to God by our jobs. We're defined by what he sees in us. Your talents, he's the one that gave them to you. Use them. But God saw that mighty man of valor. Even after God shaved his army down to a mere 300, he still followed the orders God had given him. You need to understand, when he started this bet, 20,000, 20,000, okay, it's an even match. We got it. He kept wiggling it down, whittling it down. Now he's got 300. Me personally, I think those, he dwindled down to the Marines. Personally. Just a joke. Because that's the kind of confidence he had to have. 300 against 20,000? And then God says, here's what you're going to do. You're going to get torches and trumpets. Say, what? But they did it in spite of how they felt. Can you imagine, as a military person, my mind would have went, what? You want me to do what with 300? But God had them sneak up on the hillside. And while everybody's partying hardy down there, getting drunk, getting sloshed, they came running down the side of a stony mountain. Can you imagine, you're out there, and you come out of your hooch, and all you can hear is the rumble of stones coming down the side of that mountain. And then partway down, they break the torches open, and they shout with the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Panic ensued. God used the very spirit of fear that the Midianites were using against Israel. They killed each other. They freaked out and started killing anything that moved. And it was their buddy, their hooch mate. Guy inside the hooch, hey, what's going on? Comes out, and guy's over there. Oh, dude, I'm sorry. And then somebody else comes out from another. Oh, you're the enemy. And that's how it went. God turned the spirit of fear against them. God will do the same thing for you as well. Second Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. When God called us to this ministry to start this, there was no sight. There was nothing for me in sight on this. That's why I told God no. I'd never heard one preacher that I had grown close to say anything good about being a pastor. And I understand why. There's a lot of heartbreak, a lot of betrayal. People stab you in the back, look you in the eye. Oh, hi, brother. I just love you so much. And they twist it around, not knowing that you know what they did. And then you got to keep quiet. Trust me, that part stinks. Because everything in me wanted to just reach out, grab them by the throat, and close with each side of their esophagus. You lying? Okay, Lord, that's right. You would have died just for them too. That was a hard lesson. But we do not walk according to what our flesh understands. We obey God and trust that He will show us in His time who, what, when, where, and how. My first claim to God, just like Moses did, God, I don't know how to talk. I'll give you your brother. Your brother can talk. Moses still did the majority of the talking. I said, God, I don't know how to do this. He said, go to Pastor Pete Dosek. Go to Pete. Pete says, God told me He was going to send me some guys, and I was not to turn them away because this is not what I do. I don't want to do this. And all I needed Him to do, and it was hilarious. All He really ever did was gave us the connections and ordained me. The church could have ordained me, but God sent me to Him. And I believe that through His ordination, there was a spirit that got broke that had gotten into the church that we had been a part of for so many years, that had started in here in the mid-80s. But something creeped into it, and God broke that. That other church, they carried on the same EIC number. So that was always the same spirit. It just kept going and going until it finally destroyed it. And God broke it by sending me over to there. But everything else, we learned by faith. Well, that don't work. Holy Spirit, where do we go? What do? It's no different than being a football coach. You're like, okay, we're up against a pretty good team. We're going to try something a little different. Well, that worked. That's good to know. Oh, that didn't work. You just do what you got. And that's how we've learned. And it's been hilarious because we've watched people come in here and we're like, okay, we don't really know what we're doing either. We're not professional, so to speak. We just trust God. Oh, wait a minute. None of the 12 disciples were professionals either. Not a one of them. They were unqualified. When we try to judge what God's Spirit has said to do or don't do by what our feeble little minds can understand, we miss the mark every time. I turned down this building once. I said, God, it's a junkyard. Some of y'all that have been around here before knew it as a junkyard. People around it that live right close by, they wanted it gone. They're like, it's an eyesore, but they couldn't get rid of it because it was grandfathered. Even when one of the village administrators said, well, we're going to change your property from commercial. Because see, we as a church, you don't have to have commercial property. They can't stop you. He said, we're going to change that. Well, they never did. And they never will. Because God gave us commercial property for a reason. Rules and laws change. We can make noise. No, we don't get obnoxious and try. I believe in loving my neighbor. I don't want to cause problems. But what people don't realize is you're allowed a certain amount of noise on commercial property. And to be respectful. Adam saw the fruit was appealing to the eye. Shape, color, texture. He saw it was desirable for consumption. And perhaps there were animals even eating it. He didn't tell the animals he couldn't. He told Adam he couldn't. You can't even touch it. When God tells you not to do something, you can't go and say, well, I'm just going to sample it. You cannot do that. If you're married, you're off the market. Quit looking. That's all there is to it. By seeing only with his natural eyes, Adam could not judge the fruit properly. He was looking at, oh, look at how beautiful that is. Look, Eve, you're holding, well, you know, I mean, we're going to assume Eve was the best looking woman to ever be on this planet, right? We're going to assume Adam was the best looking man ever on this planet. I mean, he was created right from God. There was no sin, so, you know, he didn't have the little inch hanging, inch or two or whatever hanging over his belt. He didn't have the waddle. He had all of his hair, his own teeth. He was gorgeous. Eve was gorgeous. And she's sampling something that is quite tempting. Oh, look, honey, look at this. Look at how pretty this fruit is. Now he's starting to justify things. She's touching it, not dying. Again, who did God tell? Him. Because it wasn't until he did that crap happened. But he judged it. He was no longer, he quit looking at God and started looking at the creation. Same thing with Adam or David. He quit looking at God and he looked at Bathsheba. He wasn't supposed to be there. He wasn't supposed to do what he did. And then he really wasn't supposed to do what he did and had her husband killed. And then he turns around and justifies it later in his own head. Against you, Lord, only have I sinned. I'm sure Uriah was like, I'm pretty sure you had me killed so you could have my wife. Yeah, no, brother. David was after God's. David was a bad dude sometimes. And by the way, the New Testament is a revelation of the law and the interpretations of things. And Jesus even said, if your brother has sinned against you, go to him. If I got one of my best friends killed on purpose so I could have his wife and nobody would find out? I mean, this is pretty quick. Oops, I'm late. I'm pregnant. What am I going to do? I know. He's a valiant man. He will not back off. He will fight to the death. Put him in the hottest spot and walk away. David wasn't the only one who sinned against Uriah. I knew an Uriah. He wasn't the only one. So we start to justify why we're looking through the natural eyes. David sought a natural means and created a massive problem. Adam really looked at the temporary thing and created a really bigger problem. You know, we keep boiling things down and boiling things down. And all, you know, how many of y'all know Lucifer did not fall to temptation of riches? He did not fall by sexual sin. He fell by pride. Adam, really, he didn't fall for monetary gain. He did not fall sexual sins. He didn't even fall by gluttony or lust. It boils down to one simple thing. We're going to hit this here again in a second. You'll see. Disobedience. That's what it really was. He disobeyed God. That's why God said, don't even touch it. To the flesh, every last one of us knows. I know your boys are just like mine. You tell them not to touch something, they're looking, they're waiting to touch it. Touch it. Remember Nemo? Don't you touch that. Don't you touch that boat. Boink, boink. What happens? Nemo gets captured because of his disobedience. Now we can say, well, it was because his dad was overbearing and overprotective. There was a reason. There's a reason why God said, don't even touch it. God knew something Adam didn't. And God still knows something no theologian on the planet has ever comprehended, because we can't. That is something that we will all know when we're on the other side. We will know as we are known. God will show us exactly what he's thought of us. We will know as we are known. We will come face to face with who God sees us as. There is no indication, again, that the animals were not allowed to eat it or touch it. But by becoming slack in his spiritual life, he became lazy in his flesh. There's a correlation. When you're spiritually strong, you're going to resist temptation better. When you slack off talking to God, being with God, hearing his word, understanding his word. Listen, I applaud you for trying to read the Bible through in a year. I've done it. It's great. Angela's doing it. I know there's a couple others in here. That's great. Start comprehending some things you're reading too. If you're just reading through it, get through it, you're missing the point of the word. It's not a challenge. It's God speaking to you. And you need the Holy Spirit to interpret it to you. Why? We were just, Faye and Joe and I were just talking about this morning. There's some things in the Bible that make me go, eh? What? God, why did you pick a fight on Job? Job loved you. Job was serving you. Why did you do that? God had a purpose. We don't know everything about, even in the story we can read. And the historians and theologians say it was only about 6 months. Job wasn't a Jew. which totally goes to fry any theology that, you know, you had to be a Jew to know God. Job wasn't a Jew, and yet he was considered righteous. Anyhow, when we get slack with the spiritual, the natural animalistic nature is always at the ready. In our world, if a man leaves a civilized city, large buildings, paved roads, power grid, all the things that we think makes us a better being, if there's no one there to maintain it, maintain said civilization, then nature takes over. The natural world. Within weeks, grass and vines begin to grow in the joints of the sidewalks. Trees take root in similar fashion, breaking the concrete and the asphalt. Leaves from such plants fall and fill the storm drains, blocking the way of escape for that water, thus flooding the streets and lower parts of buildings. Foundations are compromised by the very same water. When the foundations are compromised, the structures begin to shift, and either shifts enough to be unsafe or falls completely. Within 100 years, the once glorious city has been taken over by the natural world. Doesn't take long. They didn't know the Mayan ruins existed until somebody walked in there and said, "What is this?" A whole civilization gone. And having been in a jungle, let me tell you right now, it can take over fast. We were constantly having to maintain our perimeter, keeping the vines from going into our fences. You can ignore something. You know, even around here, if you ignore a field within a couple years, poof, it's a forest again. They may not be massive trees, but you got a lot of work ahead of you again. It does not take long. Same thing in your spiritual life. If you ignore things in the spirit, the natural will take over. You don't need to go to church. A lie from the enemy. If you need a commandment to go to church, you need to get saved. It's not about that. It's about coming together to stir up that love so that you can go out and love them. If we are not maintaining that connection with God, the natural man will fill in where we allow a place. You know, that's why it's important for a husband-wife relationship. When something can get in there, it starts to eat away. Well, he doesn't love me. She doesn't love me. Well, that's a lie from the enemy. It's a lie. It's a flat-out lie. I'm embarrassed by my body now. Yeah, you're right. I'm not that 19-year-old that walked off that parade deck. I found some pictures the other day from when I was in Okinawa. I was like, dude, look at that. Those jeans were 28s. I ain't a 28 no more. I'm not even a 30 or a 32. I was like, Lord, when did this happen? It creeped up on me. I can wear 32s if they're stretchy jeans. And they're really comfortable. When we continue to tell God our plans, even after he has said no, we struggle with our spiritual walk. But why? But why? But why? But why? But why? Garth Brooks did a song back in the 90s. Sometimes God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. They're not unanswered. He said no, and you refuse to listen. My heart, but I want her or I want him. God said no. My sister used to have this crush on this boy in her class. And oh man, it was just what she thought she wanted. When we moved back later on, I was reading, well, they still put some blotters in the paper. He'd been arrested for domestic violence. God said no. Why? Because he was a wife beater. And having had to go deal with that, my personal self, as far as not beating my wife, but somebody who hit my other sister, I was willing to go to jail. I was going to kill him. I've shared this many times. I seriously was going to kill him. And God said, you leave that here. All I had to deal with then was my anger. He's the one who's in prison for attempted murder now. And I've had to learn how to pray for him because I know his family and I know what he grew up in. And I knew that when he was a little tiny baby, that was not in him. But the things that happened to him, he was unable to comprehend and how to forgive. Anyhow. When we constantly disobey him, we struggle in our spiritual walk. You want to know why people are constantly struggling? Because they're constantly disobeying. If one act of disobedience, of touching a piece of fruit, could do this to the entirety of mankind, what will constant disobedience do to us? I disobeyed God and I didn't cut down a tree. It broke my back. Could have killed me. You disobeyed God and ran through an intersection or wouldn't slow down and got in a wreck. Or you didn't just, or I didn't, God didn't tell me slow down. I mean, I was going way above what the speed limit said. Who do you think put the laws there? No government is in place without God's permission, to and include the Nazis, the communists. God has allowed that. I don't like what's going on in our own country. I don't like Trump. I don't care if you don't like Trump. He's there because God said. Caligula was there because God said. Caesar was there because God said. Well, I don't see how God could have ever done anything with Hitler. Because of what Hitler did, Israel exists. Did y'all forget that? They were not a nation. They did not exist as a nation. They were just people floating. Yeah, it cost 6 million Jews their lives. And it showed, yeah, it's all because of disobedience. We go through things because of our own disobedience. God tells you to cut back on eating something. Well, I'm just going to keep eating because I want to. I'm going to enjoy my life, and you ain't going to tell me what to do. Well, don't come crying when it hits you. Anyhow, when we try to understand with the natural eyes what God is doing, we struggle. I don't understand what's going on. Understand, we are in the book of Revelation. Understand that right now. What you are seeing around the world in this country is the book of Revelation. That's why I've warned you for the last 25 years. You cannot take a book that is written to make something Paul, John couldn't understand in the spiritual and make it, this is how it's going to happen. This is going to happen. No, it's not. It says he uses the simple things to confound the wise. It's so simple. Just trust him. Go through what you got to go through. God says march, you march. You go. You do what God says to do, and you pray for your leaders. Pray for the protection. Pray for the churches overseas that are being killed. Whole churches being drug out on their worship time and being beheaded. Today, in this world. Well, that should not exist. You're absolutely right, but the Bible told us it was going to happen. If you are still trying to understand what is happening in a situation by judging only what you see with your natural eyes, you will face a depression like no other. I was listening to somebody else, it was another group of preachers the other day. I was just stand there and listen. I prefer to listen. There's an adage, sometimes I'll talk a lot and then get myself in trouble, but there's a time when God opens my mouth and I speak. And they started talking about, I heard preachers talking about how when Obama became president, they got depressed. God showed me in a dream that the man was going to be president. And I got depressed. And I battled it for 3 days. And I said, God, this is from you, isn't it? And I told another brother, and he's the one that told me that I'm listening to demons. Guess who came back to the country and had to battle depression for a year? Instead of listening to the simple idiot in Morrow County who just does what God said. I don't need to go to Bible school to tell you God said that man was going to be president. His name means blessed. Barak means blessed in Hebrew. His other name means lion. Don't tell me God didn't allow it to happen. Don't tell me God didn't allow Donald J. Trump to become president. It happened the way it happened because God said it was going to happen. Why did we want Venezuela? Why do we want Greenland? I understand in the natural the whole strategicness of it. Look in the spirit. There's a whole nother world that this is in play. Trust God. Don't put your trust in our president, vice president. Don't put your trust in any party. Don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in God and God alone. And ride the waves you can ride. All these storms that come to hit Florida, man, people around there, oh, we got to go north, head north. The surfers are like, grab our boards, we got to go ride the waves. What's putting fear in one man is putting joy in another. Mankind cannot disobey God in the natural realm and grow spiritually. Romans 8, 13. Okay, decided to quit working. Let's see if the laser's working. Oh, there it is. Could you advance that for me? My battery went dead. Well, here's what we're going to say. Is it not showing up? All right. God said no. Turn it off. No reason that battery should have went dead. No reason it wasn't on there. We don't know where it went. She put it on. I know. It was on the list. She puts it in there. We just understand God said no. We walk away from it. Maybe it's for next week. But understand something. If you're going to walk by faith, you can't be using your eyeballs. When you sow a seed into somebody's life, do not expect a harvest to come from them. The kingdom of God is worldwide. And Proverbs says that when you give to the poor, you loan to God. Are you really seriously expecting a homeless person to come back and bless you? God will bless you. That's where your harvest comes from. Your harvest doesn't come from them. Years ago, somebody helped us out. Well, it was when I broke my back. People came out and helped us. And somebody that was there said, well, you know, when you're better, you can come and help us. That person's not here today. That person's spiritual walk took a nosedive because they got to looking at the natural. That's not how it works. Not everybody who you help is going to be able to help you. And not every, let's get real. Sometimes the poor people that you maybe hand a 20 to, they might be an angel. Because the Bible says, Paul said, yeah, that's exactly what's happened. Some of us have entertained angels and didn't know it. Because it was a test from God to see if you're going to disobey. The last guy I helped, I have no idea. I was like, man, of all the ones I've ever picked up, he was definitely the weirdest. Didn't want to tell me exactly how old he was. He thought I was government and all this stuff. I'm like, dude, I really don't care. I gave him water and a 20, and I blessed him. I prayed for him and dropped him off. And you know what he did? I picked him up. He was sleeping in the he was trying to sleep in the shade, take a nap. He went and sat on a sunny park bench in Lexington. I was like, dude, you could have went to the other side of the street and sat down for a minute. Besides that, you just rode the last 15 miles. In air conditioning, you're refreshed. I looked at them. God, was this a test? Because I really began to think so when I turned around to go back to get him, and he's not on the road anymore. I was like, where'd he go, Lord? Holy Spirit said, slow down and look between the trees. And there he was on a four-wheeler path. Actually, right over by Tim and Bonnie's. That's where he was at. He said, oh, it was nice and shady. And he said, it's hot out here. And all I could ever, the only thing I ever really could understand when he was talking was Jesus. He said something when he was jumping the ditch. He got in the truck, and that was that. And you know what? For a man who's been traveling from, I think he was coming from Colorado at that point. He had been hitchhiking, he said. He didn't stink. I think God took care of that with the last rain shower we had. But I've picked up people that live here in the county, live in a home. I'm like, dude, I'm about to go buy you a bottle of Dawn because Irish Spring ain't going to touch that stink. But I still did it. You do what God says to do. When God doesn't tell you to do help somebody and something, don't do it. It's for somebody else. You come across a deal. Well, I need to buy that deal. The deal's for me. I found it. I found lots of stuff. I'm like, what am I going to do with that? I can't think of anything. And the Holy Spirit says, it's because it's not yours. Just because you found it doesn't mean you need to buy it. I said, oh, that's for somebody else to find. I don't need to put more junk in my barn. I got enough as it is. I looked back and I said, Lord, if I go, when I go and that barn's full of junk, my children are going to curse my name. Dad, why couldn't you get rid of something? Let's stand. And I don't want to do that to my kids. I've watched the videos. I mean, yeah, it's fun when you're watching, what was the show? The American Pickers. Yeah. A little disappointed when we found out some of it was set up, but it's like, do I really want to do that to my kids? I'd say I love them, and then I leave them garbage. I wouldn't even take care of it. It meant so much to me. Why didn't I just sell it and give them the money? Well, I need to be dead. No, you don't. I want to see my kids have fun. Anyhow, it went long today, but you're okay. Again, remember Tim and Sarah. Just pray for him right now. If Tim says, hey, we're kind of needing something, I'll let you know. Okay, but they are, you know, pray for the whole situation. Okay, let's simply put it that way. Pray for that whole situation because it didn't need to happen and the devil's taking advantage of something. And he's trying to do bad things. But God's going to get glory. Amen. God's going to bring, just like Job, God's going to bring about good things for Tim and Sarah, but restoration and other things too. So we stand and trust that. And I don't think we had anything else. There was, but anyhow, all right. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you sent the Holy Spirit. First, that you sent Jesus so that we could receive the Holy Spirit. Because even Jesus said, there's one greater than me. And so we receive your Holy Spirit, Lord, into our lives to lead us and guide us, Father, to warn us of traps, to show us your blessings. Father, help us all to walk, not just in the natural, because we need to walk in the natural. We need to know that sometimes what we're doing is actually offensive to people. But sometimes we need to know what we're doing is blessing people. Father, help us. Help us to walk that line. And Father, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Father, that when the enemy comes up against us, you raise the standard of Jesus Christ against him. And you open our eyes in the Spirit through your Holy Spirit, that we may see what is happening. Father, that we may see even in this country that people on the left and the right are not our enemies. Our flesh, our battles are not with flesh and blood, but they're with powers, spiritual powers. Father, help us to know what battles to fight. Father, for those that are battling family battles, family spiritual battles, Lord God, and even those that have got turmoil in their family, Lord, open their eyes. Open all of our eyes to the spiritual battle, the things that are taking place. Because everybody has a spiritual thing that is causing the problem. A lie they're believing from the enemy. A truth that they will not believe. And just flat out disobedience. Lord, help us all to overcome those things. To walk victoriously. Even as your word says, Father, that we are more than conquerors. That means super. That means above human. That it's not natural. But it is supernatural. It is spiritual. Lord, I bless your people today. Move in their lives, Lord God. Open doors. Lead them. Father, convict them if necessary. Father, and if we're dragging our feet, kick us in the rear. In Jesus' name, amen.